Walk in the Spirit. Let's say that together. Walk in the Spirit. When we hear that phrase at times, it can seem kind of daunting. It can seem kind of like, well, what does that mean to walk in the Spirit? Maybe you've felt that way as I have in the past. And I hope today that by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to bring some clarity as to what that means to walk in the Spirit. Because as best I can understand from the Word of God and from my own personal experience, there's a more objective side to that and there's a more subjective side to that. And so I hope to bring some delineation there to see how those two can come together. The objective side of it and the subjective side of it. And so that's my hope today by the Word of God and the Spirit of God today. As born again believers, we have the indwelling representative of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit in us. Aren't you glad for that? Anybody else glad for that? Amen. You have the indwelling representative of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit in you. And according to John chapter 15, verse 26, in the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, sent to us by God the Father. Period. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, catch this now, is to assist believers in their walk with the Lord. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave you an orphan in this world? He left you the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of God lives inside of you. Let that sink in for a minute. A deposit of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you as a born-again believer. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to assist us in our walk with the Lord in accordance with the perfect will of God for our lives. How many of you recognize that as believers, we all share a general will of God? In other words, everything in the Bible generally is the will of God for every born-again believer. But there is also a specific, perfect will of God that He has for each of you that melds in together with the Word of God. Somehow part of God's perfect, unique will for my life was to be a pastor. I wasn't planning on being a pastor. I was perfectly fine doing what I was doing. Anybody here with me ever feel that way? I'm good, Lord. I'm good. And then the Lord says, not quite yet. I got some other ideas. Again, in the unique, specific, perfect will that God has for you. Amen? And ultimately, the Holy Spirit assists us to discover that, leading us into righteous living, producing His fruit in and through us. Producing His fruit in and through those who would be yielded to Him. Are you yielding to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes yielding feels like weakness, doesn't it? Anybody here with me ever feel that way? Well, if I'm yielding, that's kind of weak, especially as a man. I'm a man. But when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, then He's your strength. Amen? And if we're yielding to Him, then we should be producing His fruit in and through our lives. According to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. I'm not going to read all of those verses here today, but I'm going to encourage you to incline yourself to the Spirit this week and read through those verses in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to bring something fresh and alive to your heart for what He has in mind for you. But according to Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26, born again believers, who submit their lives to the will of God, walking in the Spirit, will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now understand afresh today that the word walk in the Bible is often referred to as a metaphor for practical daily living. Practical daily living. Let's say that together. Practical daily living. You see, the Holy Spirit has an objective side that brings about a type of practical daily living in our lives. It's not ethereal. And walking in the Spirit is not as ethereal as it seems. And the biblical Greek word related to this metaphor, catch this now, is a composite of two Greek root words, peripateo. It's not a side dish, by the way. Sounds like a side dish, doesn't it? I'll have an order of the peripateo, please. Kind of sounds like a fruit and a vegetable together. I love looking into the Greek root words, you know, because you get a fuller kind of an understanding of what these words mean. But the Greek root word is a composite of two words, actually, and it means this, catch this now, being concerned about treading out. Being concerned about treading out. So I thought, well, what actually does that mean by way of implication to us? And I believe that the implication to walking in the Spirit, catch this now, is to be urgently concerned. To be urgently concerned, to be top of mind concerned about leading a life that is consistently making forward progress by following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Treading out your life urgently, top of mind, following the lead of the Holy Spirit. According to Galatians 5, verse 25, from the Amplified transliteration, it goes like this. That if we claim to have life in the Spirit, then we must also walk by the Spirit. With personal integrity. Publicly and privately. How are you doing behind the scenes when nobody else is looking? God sees it all. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, you know, I might not see what you're doing wrong, but God sees it. And I talk to God. Amen?
Amen?
That would get them kind of bug-eyed. But if we claim to have life in the Spirit through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, then we must also walk by the Spirit. With intentionality, personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage. We need moral courage like never before in this culture that we're living in. With all the rampant immoralities that are being promoted in this nation, promoted as acceptable. We need moral courage. And our conduct needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a mind over matter thing. It's an inclination to the Holy Spirit to empower us to have moral courage and godly character and personal integrity. Amen? It's not just a Dale Carnegie course or a power of positive thinking course. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you and through you as you yield, as you tap the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so as professed born-again believers, make no mistake about it, walking in the Spirit is set forth as a biblical norm that we are to consistently engage. That's the norm for a professed born-again believer to walk in the Spirit. And since the Holy Spirit has given us new birth, catch this now, then we are obliged to continue to walk day by day in the Spirit. The Spirit has been given to us as a free gift from God. Amen?
Amen.
And because of that, we are obliged before the throne of God to continue to engage ourselves with the Word, to engage ourselves with the Spirit, so that we would be walking progressively by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It's not an option for what Christ has done for you. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you understand that you've received the deposit of His Spirit in you, then you're obliged before the throne of God to pursue walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit means that we yield to His control. It's as simple as that. It's not as complicated as we make it sometimes. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and all you need to say is, Holy Spirit, I yield to You.
Amen.
I yield my mindset to You, Holy Spirit. I yield my thoughts to You. I yield my emotions to You. I yield my fill in the blank to You, Holy Spirit. I yield to You. It's as simple as that. With the fervency of your heart, saying, I want to be controlled by You, Holy Spirit. And not by anything else.
Amen.
And it's as simple as saying, I yield to Your control, Holy Spirit. I give myself over to follow Your lead. I give myself over to allow You to exert Your influence over me. And when that's the passionate desire of your heart to please the Lord in that way, then the Spirit of God will manifest Himself to you in one way or another, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it starts with that heart cry. Are we just muddling through this life with the Spirit of God in us? Are we just surviving, or are we thriving?
Yes.
Are we thriving in the Spirit?
Amen.
We should be thriving
yes.
in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
There's no need for you as a born-again, Spirit-filled, devoted follower of Jesus Christ to just muddle along trying to survive.
Yes. Yes.
The ordination of God for you before the throne of God is that you would thrive as you walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We have to decide to participate cooperatively with the Holy Spirit. It's a decision that we have to make. Each and every day, sometimes moment by moment throughout the day. It's a decision that we have to make. No one else can make that decision for us. We have to decide, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. And I may not know what that's going to look like today, Lord, but I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to yield to Your Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And along the way of your going, He will show you.
Yes.
He will prompt you.
Yes.
Anybody here ever experienced some of this other than me?
Yes.
And you know that you know that you know that you know that that was the Lord speaking to me.
Yes. Amen.
Because like the prophetic word today indicated, the sheep know His voice.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
We just need to decide to incline ourselves to it. It's a still small voice. It's a still small voice. So we have to pay attention. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 urges us not to grieve the Holy Spirit by how we're living our lives as professed believers. I believe that the Holy Spirit is being grieved in different pockets of the church, professed believers that are living their lives in a way that's grieving the Holy Spirit that's in them. And the Apostle Paul was urging believers then in the Ephesian church, and God by His Word and by His Spirit is urging us and cautioning us today, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live, but seek to please Him by reminding yourself and remembering that He has identified and sealed you as God's own. That should be enough motivation for us to say, I'm going to live my life in a way that pleases the Lord. As challenging as it is, I'm going to set my mind to yield to the Word of God, to yield to the Spirit of God in my life. And we can be motivated by the fact that the Apostle Paul was encouraging believers in the Ephesian church then, and God by His Spirit is encouraging each of you today. Remind yourself every day. And remember that you've been identified and sealed as God's own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the final day of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
That should be motivation for us in the meantime to be a Spirit-led representative of Christ.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
We're called to it, we're obliged to it, and it's our responsibility before the throne of God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Are you motivated enough by what God has already done for you?
Yes. Amen.
To pursue walking in the Spirit with Him?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Oh, Spirit of God, come and motivate us afresh today. Spirit of God, come and impart a fresh revelation knowledge to each and every person's heart and mind in this place today of the road to Calvary. Because You did that for us, Lord Jesus. And let that be the ongoing encouragement and motivation for us to walk in the Spirit for Your glory. Do that work in each person's heart in this place today, Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Motivate us afresh, Lord God Almighty, by Your Spirit.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what anybody might think about it. Amen?
Amen.
There were some people that didn't think much of Jesus. So you're in good company.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Do it anyway.
Amen.
Now Galatians 5 examines the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a born-again believer. And I would encourage you this week to spend some time in Galatians 5 from top to bottom. Do some Bible study. But understand generally that the context of Galatians 5 is that we have freedom in Christ from the law of God that was given through Moses. Now that doesn't mean we're to be lawless. I just wanted to put that footnote in there. It doesn't mean that we're not to obey the laws of the land. It means that the laws of God in and of themselves could not save people.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
It means that the laws of God could only point out people's sinfulness. And since no one can perfectly keep the laws of God, we needed Christ, who by His life and death and resurrection was the perfect fulfillment of the laws of God. Amen?
Amen.
So that we could be freed.
Amen.
From the penalty of our imperfect obedience to the laws of God.
Amen.
Let it sink in afresh today. That we could be freed from the penalty of our imperfect obedience to the laws of God, by the grace of God, through our repentant faith and belief and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Amen? It's all on Him. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad it's all on Him?
Amen.
He took the whole penalty.
Amen.
For our imperfect obedience upon Himself. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
Let's say that together. Thank You, Jesus. Say it again. Thank You, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
In Christ, we are saved from the power of sinful imperfection, which leads to eternal death. And instead, we have been freed from the power of sin, which leads to death. Freed by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Has your motivation gone to another level yet?
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit?
Yes.
I'll keep going. Romans chapter 8 encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines. Picking up in verse 1, I love this because it's the victory chapter after the Apostle Paul was lamenting in Romans 7, verses 14 to the end, of his struggle with sin. Anybody here with me struggling with sinfulness? Anybody here still struggling? Hopefully you're struggling less than you used to. But Romans 8 encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines that there is now no condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes I don't feel freed from the power of sin. How about you? Anybody? Can anybody here lift an honest hand and say, you know, sometimes I don't feel freed. But it's not about how you feel. It's about what God has done. And you deciding to engage what He has done. When I don't feel free from the power of sin, it's because I'm not engaging the Holy Spirit to keep that freedom going in my conscience and in my mind and in my heart. Amen?
Amen.
The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied. The wages for sin is death. And Jesus fully satisfied the law and fully satisfied the penalty for those who don't perfectly fulfill the law. Amen?
Amen.
For us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Now, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Are you more dominated by your sinful nature? Or are you more dominated by the Holy Spirit? It's a process.
That's right.
It's a process. Let's say that together. It's a process. I'm not as dominated by my sinful nature as I used to be.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
As I strive for the perfection of Christ in my life. Amen. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. What are you thinking about? What are you setting your mind on? What are you allowing your mind to be sucked into? Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
Amen.
Oh, I love the peace of God that surpasses understanding. Amen.
Yes.
I think that's one indicator that each of you can rely on. That when you're experiencing the peace of God through the Spirit of God, that can be one indicator that says that you're hearing from the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
That peace that settles you, it surpasses all natural understanding. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Or maybe a few more minutes. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still living under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. What are you allowing to control you? What are you allowing to control your mindset and your perceptions and your emotions? In Christ, you are not subject to be controlled by your sinful nature. You are subject to be controlled by the Spirit because you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you.
Amen.
And remember that those who do not have the Holy Spirit of Christ in them, catch this now, do not belong to Him at all. There's a lot of people that say that they're Christians, but they're not born again Christians. There's only one kind of true Christian before the throne of God. That's a born again, Holy Spirit filled Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Paul said to the Roman church then, and God by His Spirit is reminding us afresh today, that those who do not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, those who are not born again, do not belong to Him at all. And since Christ lives within you by the agent of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, even though your physical body will die, anybody here looking forward to the new body that's to come? Anybody here other than me? As you get older, you look more forward to that, don't you? Amen? That's one of the promises of God. We're going to have a redeemed body. Amen?
Amen.
But even though your physical body will die, the Spirit gives you eternal life. Because you've been made right with God through Christ, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give new life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. Amen?
Amen.
A transformed body. A heavenly body. Amen?
Amen?
And so therefore, dear brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul urging believers in Rome then and God by His Spirit urging us today, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. But if through the power of the Spirit, catch this now, you habitually put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, then you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are truly children of God. For those who walk in the Spirit, catch this now, will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How often are we gratifying the desires of our flesh? Oh, thank God for repentance. Anybody here other than me grateful for repentance after the fact? How many of you here with me have experienced that repentance is a lot more stressful and straining than not falling short of God's glory at all? Amen?
Yeah.
I'm grateful for repentance, but man, that's a strain, isn't it?
Yeah.
When the desires of the flesh are in charge, then the sinful results are obvious. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, He produces godly qualities in and through us. And how we speak, what we say and what we do, and how we perceive the world around us. When we choose to crucify the lust of our flesh with its sinful passions and desires, and instead choose to walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Make no mistake about it. If you're walking in the Spirit, then your life should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Yes. That's right.
And the fruit of the Spirit are outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. That since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
Amen.
And since we are united with Christ by the Holy Spirit, we should be progressive bearers of the fruit that the Spirit produces. We should be progressive bearers. Progressive bearers.
Yes.
Of the fruit that the Spirit produces. Those that walk in the Spirit walk in love for God and their fellow man. Amen? Those who walk in the Spirit walk in joy and gladness of what God has done and what He is doing and what He will do. Amen? Those who walk in the Spirit walk in peace, worry-free, and refusing anxiety. Anybody here still worrying about one thing or another? Refuse anxiety in the power of the Spirit. Amen? Those who walk in the Spirit walk in patience with a reputation for having a long fuse. And not being quick to lose their temper. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in kindness that demonstrates a genuine, tender concern for the needs of others. Are you concerned about others? The unsaved who need to come to know Christ. Those who are saved who have fallen away. Those who are in the fold who need help legitimately in one way or another. Are you walking in that spirit of kindness, that fruit of kindness? Those who walk in the Spirit walk in the goodness of godly actions that reflect virtue and holiness. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in faithfulness by their steadfast trust in God's Word and will. What are you trusting in? Politics? Self-help success books? Walk in faithfulness with steadfast trust in God's Word and will. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in gentleness that is consistently characterized by humility and grace and thankfulness to God. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in self-control as they display moderation, as they display constraint and the ability to say no to the sinful fleshly appetites. Those who walk in the Spirit rely on the Holy Spirit to guide them in thought and word and action, showing forth daily, moment by moment, holiness, just as Jesus did when He was here on this earth. It sounds kind of daunting, doesn't it? Like, how can I walk in the Spirit like that? Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you.
That's right.
It's just a matter of how consistently are we going to tap the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 14 encourages and motivates us along these lines, that since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. And we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that we might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin.
Amen.
I am no longer a slave to sin.
Thank you.
I am no longer a slave
Amen.
To sin.
Yes.
I am no longer a slave to sin. Let's say that together. I am no longer a slave to sin. Again. I am no longer a slave to sin. One more time. I am no longer a slave to sin. That's the fact of the matter for you. As a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. And we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. For when He died once and for all to break the power of sin. To break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God the Father at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. Aren't you glad for that? He lives for the glory of God the Father. So you also who call yourselves by His name should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through the victory of Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Lord God Almighty, help us. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. You give yourself completely to God. Lord God Almighty, I give myself completely to You. I am dead to the power of sin. And I am alive to the power of God through the victory of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
For you were dead in sin, but now you have new life in Christ. And so be sure to use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. For sin is no longer your master. Instead, you now live under the freedom of God's grace.
Amen?
Amen? Spirit of God, come and move upon the hearts of each and every one of us here today. Cause faith to rise up in us, Spirit of God. to decree afresh today, I am dead to the power of sin. I am alive to the power of God through the victory of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. Amen? I am dead to the sinful stimulation of my senses. And I am alive to the purity and holiness of the Lord through the victory of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. Amen? By the way, this is all part of walking in the Spirit. I haven't digressed. This is the foundation. This is the foundation for walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moves us toward progressive obedience to God's Word. And progressively moves us away from the sinful appetites of the flesh, which ultimately no longer have dominion over us. Have you noticed, since you've come to know Christ with the Spirit of God in you, that you have more of an aversion to sinful appetites? I mean, they're still there to tempt you, but you have more of an aversion towards them, even though you still might struggle with it. Amen? John chapter 14, verse 17 encourages us that the Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us and guide us into God's truth. The Holy Spirit, catch this now, the Holy Spirit is the director of God's truth, directing us into His truth in every situation, in every circumstance, in every relationship in our lives. But the question is, how can we recognize the Spirit's guidance in our lives? How can we make the distinction between our own thoughts, the thoughts of that the enemy puts in our mind, and the leading of the Holy Spirit? How do we make those distinctions? How do we make the distinction between the impressions of the Holy Spirit and other demonic impressions that are competing for our mindset? But one of the most important ways to recognize the Holy Spirit's guidance is to be familiar with God's Word. Amen? Are you pressing into God's Word every day? Are you doing topical studies? Are you looking into God's Word for what His Word says about whatever it is you're considering? Amen? The Bible is the ultimate source of wisdom about how we should live, the ultimate source of insight into whether or not you're hearing from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, encourages and motivates us along these lines, that all of Scripture is inspired by the Spirit of God. And all of Scripture is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Anybody still have something wrong with their lives other than me? It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to know and do what is right in God's eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Further reinforcing this from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And since the Word of God is from the Spirit of God, the Word of God, catch this now, is the most definitive indicator of the Spirit's leading. And so as born-again believers, we can walk in the Spirit with a confidence that we're being led by the Spirit as we consistently search the Scriptures, as we consistently meditate on the Word of God and commit to what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit will use the Scriptures to speak to us. Anybody here other than me experience some of that in your walk with the Lord? And your conscience will bear witness to the Spirit, leading you through the truth of God's Word. And He will bring Scriptures to your mind when you need it, in the context of whatever you're considering. But you've got to be in the Word. Amen? The Holy Spirit, make no mistake about it, will never prod you to do anything contrary to God's Word. Sometimes people will say to me, well, the Lord is speaking this to me, or the Lord is speaking that to me, and I squint my eyes. And I say, well, that doesn't line up with the principles in God's Word. So that can't be from the Lord.
Right.
And so if the sense that you're having conflicts with the Bible, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. And it should be ignored. Amen?
Amen.
We walk in the Spirit with a confidence that we are being led by the Spirit when we consistently seek Him in prayer. Prayer is an ongoing thing throughout the day. It's an ongoing communication. It's an ongoing inclination that you have to the throne of God by the Spirit of God. It's an ongoing yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's prayer. That's part of prayer. It's an ongoing kind of a thing. Amen? Certainly you have your devotion times and you have your concentrated times. But ultimately, prayer is an ongoing conversation that you're having with the Spirit of God. And the more consistently and the more uninterruptedly that you can be inclining yourself to the Spirit, the more you're going to be walking in the Spirit. Amen? Through prayer, which is ongoing communication with the Father about whatever it is that you're considering before you. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 encourages us along these lines. The Amplified transliteration reads like this: Do not be anxious, do not be worried about anything. And in everything and every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to bring your specific requests and inquiries before the throne of God. And then by His Spirit, He will provide you with that peace that reassures your heart. That peace which transcends all natural understanding. That peace which stands guard over the considerations of your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Amen? That's a promise from God's Word. That He'll give you His peace as you incline yourself to Him. In prayer and petition and ongoing communication, engaging His Spirit that's in you. Amen? It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. To discipline yourself. To be as continuously as you can inclining yourself to the Spirit that's in you. Amen? What are you inclining yourself to if you're not inclining yourself to the Holy Spirit? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 simply says, Be unceasing and persistent in your prayers. Not only does prayer keep our hearts and minds open to the Holy Spirit's leading, but it also allows the Spirit of God to speak to God on our behalf. How many of you here have ever gotten to prayer and say, I don't even really know what to pray? Anybody here other than me go, I don't know what to pray? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit can help you with that too. Amen? Anybody here ever groaned before the throne of God? Oh, I don't know what to pray. Anybody here other than me? But in Romans 8, verses 26 to 27, the Living Bible translation says it like this: By our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and helps us in our praying. For at times we don't even know what we should pray for or how to pray as we should. That being in accordance with God's will for us. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts, of course, knows what the Spirit is saying. And He pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. Amen? Make no mistake about it, the Holy Spirit doesn't force you to follow His leading. You have the choice as to whether or not you will accept His guidance. And catch this now. When you know the will of God, when you know you're hearing from God's Word, when you know you're hearing the Spirit speaking to you, and you still decide not to follow the Spirit's leading in it, then you are resisting the Spirit's work in your life. Choosing to follow some other way that grieves the Holy Spirit and stifles His work in you. He's not stifling His work in you. We stifle His work in us. We're not doing what He's directing us to do. And we forfeit the blessing that He has in mind for us. How much have we forfeited because we've grieved the Holy Spirit? Make no mistake about it, and don't let yourself be deceived any longer. The Holy Spirit will never lead us into sinfulness to any degree. And catch this now. Unrepentant, habitual sinfulness squelches your spiritual hearing. And it will cause you to miss what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I know some believers in that category, professed believers in that category. No one here at this fellowship, by the way. Other people. They're in a place of unrepentant, habitual sinfulness, but still calling themselves Christians. And they're not hearing from the Spirit. But repentant obedience to God's Word refines your spiritual hearing and will keep you in better tune with the Spirit. Amen? Sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit is confirmed through another believer. Anybody here with me ever experienced that? Another believer who says something to you that confirms what the Spirit has been showing you without them even knowing ahead of time what the Spirit has spoken to you. Amen? It's one Spirit. Amen? If that person is inclining themselves to the same Spirit that you are, then they can confirm what the Spirit is saying to you without even knowing what the Spirit is saying to you. Amen? I've been blessed by that so many times. Many of you here in this fellowship have blessed me in that way. Other times the confirmation of the Holy Spirit's leading may come by way of a feeling or an emotion or some specific physical manifestation that rises up in you. And while at certain times the ministry of the Holy Spirit may involve a particular feeling or emotion, catch this now, we must take good care to not base our determination of the Spirit's leading entirely on how or what we feel. Feelings can change. Amen? We have to take good care that although the Holy Spirit may bring a certain feeling or manifestation in the physical body as a confirmation of His leading, we need to take good care to not base our determination of the Spirit's leading entirely on how we're feeling or on what we're feeling. We know the Holy Spirit is with us because God's Word tells us that that is so. And every born-again believer is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. But make no mistake about it, not every believer is cooperating with being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so there's a distinct difference there, even among believers. When we decide to walk in our fleshly ways, then we're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, even though we are still indwelled by the Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a free gift of God to us through our relationship with what Jesus Christ has done with us. But walking in the Spirit is the God-ordained responsibility of every believer. And it results from walking in progressive obedience to His Word and will and specific leadings for our lives. Leadings that are unique to your situation and circumstances and relationships. Amen? Be cautioned afresh today, saints of God. Emotions can and will deceive us at times. And so we need to take good care not to be taken up by emotionalism, which is from the flesh and not the Holy Spirit. And that being said, we can't deny that there are times when we can be overwhelmed by the presence and the power of the Spirit. And this is often an emotional experience. And so as much as the ministries of the Holy Spirit can involve our feelings and emotions, at the same time, we are to take good care not to base our assurance of the Holy Spirit's leading solely on how we may feel. Amen? Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer response now to the Word of the Lord as it's come to you today.